This KFK podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. Honesty, integrity, hard work. It's the way you live and the way we bank. Bank of Colorado has been a family-owned, community-focused bank for generations and will be here for generations to come. Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.
Sell time, Michael Wazowski. The UNC Bears are 3-0 basketball. Talking basketball. The CU Buffs are 4-0. The CSU Rams are 4-0. And I believe the Wyoming Cowboys are 4-0. Who loses first? Blind shot. Because you're going to ask, what's the schedule and all that stuff. I'm just asking. Blind
what's the schedule?
Blind shot. Well, Wyoming plays Sam Houston. And they're an underdog. UNC plays St. Thomas first on Friday, and their favorite.
Wasn't he one of their players?
And CU play who?
St. Thomas.
CU plays UC Davis, and CU's a big-time favorite. Colorado State plays DU, and obviously the Rams are big-time favorites. Who loses first?
Wyoming.
Yeah, probably so. That's fun, though. Wyoming's pretty good. Pretty good basketball team.
If only football in the area was as good as basketball.
Yeah. And people show out for football, but not basketball. That's a bummer. Hopefully they show out. Hopefully they're showing out for Wyoming with Sundance Wicks. If they had a lot of... You know, they've been at home. Man, they destroyed. They beat Portland 93-56. The Bears play Portland later on this weekend. They have that tournament, that Portland tournament. Buy or sell, Mike. This Broncos team, as we sit today,
bye,
is better than the Super Bowl winning team in 2015. Won it in 2016.
I didn't know what you were going to ask, but I knew what the answer would be.
You think this is a better team than that team?
I think the defense is better, and I think the quarterback, not brain-wise, not mentally, but... physically, I think he's better.
Yeah. I'm going to prove your point right coming up in the next segment. How about that?
By agreeing with me.
Well, I've already made the point. You're just latching on to the work that I've done. Because I'm doing another, you know, into the wormhole kind of thing here today. So.
Well, that's true. You did ask me before the show to check your work.
No. I would never do that. Now, Mike... The other thing on our whole, and I already know where you are on this, you already know where I am on this, the buy or sell that a G5 school should have an automatic seat at the table in the college football playoffs. I buy it, you sell it because you're a football elitist. Although for the Broncos, you're fine with them getting in it with like 5 wins or whatever it was, 8 wins with Tim Tebow.
Everybody knows that I think it's BS that if you have a worse record than the other team, you shouldn't get in.
Right.
I'm only happy about it when the Broncos get in. Like, I'm only like, okay, fine, I like it when this happens, but, like, really, it shouldn't happen. It should never happen, and you shouldn't have a home game. And I think the NFL changed the rules.
In 2016 was that year. Not 2000. Sorry, 2000. What was that, 11, Mike?
That was 2011, yeah.
Oh, I can't even, it's not even available to me. Apparently they don't go back that far. I don't know, was there a 9-17 that should have got in that didn't? Was that the year?
There were two of them. Seahawks did it, and so did the Panthers.
Was that the year that, it wasn't the year that the Patriots were 11-5 one year. Was that when Seattle got in with, no, because Seattle was an NFC team. What was the year the Patriots didn't get in when they were 8-5 and they had Matt Castle as the quarterback, and Tom Brady broke his leg to start the season?
That might have been the year. I don't remember.
It wasn't the Broncos year because the Broncos lost to the Patriots in the next game. So that wasn't that year.
And they lost and pretty embarrassing.
Pretty embarrassing, yeah. That was the end of Tim Tebow.
Yeah, and by the way, the Patriots beat Tim Tebow both times.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but the Broncos, maybe by your argument, shouldn't have got in, but they won a playoff game. They beat the Steelers.
They did.
They beat them. Some would
argue.
They
didn't deserve it. They took it out of, and I'm glad the Broncos, I'm glad at that time, that one time, I'm glad the Broncos were able to get in. But at least they had an 8-8 record. They went 500. There were teams that
Seattle
went
got in
seven
with seven
nine.
Wins, right? That one year we're talking about, they went in with seven. Didn't they go in at 7-9?
They were 8-8.
Were they 8-8?
It was a three-way tie between the Broncos,
what year
the
was
Raiders,
that?
And the Chargers.
When?
When the Tebow year?
Oh yeah, no, I'm talking about Seattle.
Seattle, they were 7-9,
yeah, that's
and
what
then
saying.
they beat the Saints, but the Saints were banged up.
Yeah.
But that's why they won.
That's what
I'm saying.
Like,
and
Seattle
then the same thing happened with Carolina.
Yeah.
Carolina won because the Cardinals were banged up.
Mm-hmm. I guess I like the game within the game. Like, the NBA doesn't matter. I don't care if you win your division or whatever. It's all about the way they seed it. You know, just finishing the top eight or whatever. But in the NFL, I like the fact that it starts with your division. It starts there. Now, it doesn't always have to be that way. You could lose all your division games and still be a 10-win team and get into the playoffs and still win the Super Bowl.
You can win. You can lose every game.
Yeah. And still
every game and still make it to the Super Bowl.
You could be 11-6, right? And still get in.
No, you can go 0-17, like go 0-17 and still make it to the playoffs.
What?
Oh, sorry.
No, you can.
Sorry, my bad. You can go.
You could
0-6-0. Let me do math. 0-11-6.
By tying. You could tie all those games.
Win no games.
If
make it to the playoffs.
If all of the AFC West, for the sake of argument, did the exact same thing, you could theoretically get in with zero wins.
Yeah, and if your strength of It wouldn't be strength of victory because you didn't win. I think that it would eventually go down to like how many points you have.
Yes,
strength of schedule. If the Broncos had a slightly better strength of schedule than everybody else, then they would make it in.
Yeah, that's fat. Yeah, yes, you're right. The chance of that happening is like next to zero.
I want to see that happening.
That would be funny.
I want to see that happen so the NFL changes the rules. You have to win. You have to have a winning record or you're out.
And some of that stuff, like, so for the UNC Bears, for basketball, theoretically they could lose every game. They're 3-0, so they're not doing that. They could lose every Big Sky game. But if they get hot in the tournament, they could win the tournament and go dancing. I don't like that. I also think it screws over teams that are good, that are you know, win 25 games like UNC did last year, and they don't get into the tournament. I get that's just the way it is. They're not going to give the Big Sky Conference an at-large bid, other than the whoever wins your conference championship. In some regards, I get it, but it still sucks to me that all year we're talking about how good the UNC Bears are, but. It's going to come down. They could theoretically win every game, but lose that final game in the Big Sky Conference Championship and then be out. That's weird to me.
Terrible Idaho gets in and loses.
Well, I mean, that's where I don't like this idea of, you know, it's a guaranteed spot in if you win your... I actually think they should eliminate the Big Sky Tournament. I think it should be the winner of the regular season. In this case, it would have been a tie with Montana and UNC. We'll make them go play. Then that's the championship. I actually like basketball adopting what college does. The top two teams play for a championship and the winner moves on. That would be better because, again, you have them play three games in the tournament. You could get, your star player could get sick the night before, could get food poisoning, and that's it.
Yeah, and basketball, as Mark was saying, basketball is a completely different sport. You can see these weird upsets because, like, your Jokic's can, like, just have a really, really bad game. Your team can just have a bad game and clank every shot, and then the other team just happens to have a really good game. And the, you know, like Virginia, they lost that, the overall number one lost to the worst team in the tournament. That can happen because it's basketball. That doesn't happen in football.
In basketball, the teams that don't receive an at-large bid, I don't think they should have a tournament. And I know the argument is, well, they make money. The conference makes money having that tournament. I think that if you don't receive an at-large bid, it should be the regular season champ. And then if you have a situation like you had last year between UNC and Montana, and it's a tie, then you make them play. Then the winner of that game gets in. It's just you void the entire season. You're telling me that if the Bears go 15-0 to start the season, it means nothing. I mean, it means a lot to the program and to the players and the fans and stuff, but that means absolutely nothing. You still have that dark cloud hanging over you of, yeah, we still have to win three games in Boise.
They could
March.
Win 28 games. They could beat a Texas Tech.
They could.
They could beat a Texas. They could beat Indiana. They could beat USC. They could schedule all these great teams. They could put, well, I mean, don't they have CSU this year?
They don't have CSU, but they have CU.
Okay.
UNC plays. They play Texas Tech, who's 15th in the country right now.
They could beat both of those teams. They could win all 28 games. Guess what's going to happen? They're only going to have the Big Sky tournament. They're not going to get the respect because they're in the Big Sky.
Which is so... Because UNC's beat... They beat CSU. I believe they beat them a year that they went to... They went to March Madness. When CSU went to March Madness, I believe UNC beat them one year. And they were darn close to beating them in another year on top of that. So either the year they beat them... CSU went, or the year that it was close, and UNC was up by like 11, and CSU came back and won. Either one of those years, CSU went on to March Madness, and UNC got nothing for it. I think that part of it sucks. In the NFL, I just don't have a problem with it like you do. I think it starts with your division. So you would do away with divisions then, in the NFL too.
I'd keep the divisions. But
if it doesn't mean anything, why?
You have to win. You have to have at least 9 wins.
So now you're putting a caveat on that. So it's not about winning your division. It's about winning your division but making sure you have 9 wins.
Yeah, you have to have some kind of merit. And look, if the conference is just simply bad and you don't have seven teams that have, you know, that have winning records, I don't know what to do. Maybe toss some AFC teams in there.
Yeah.
But you can't throw out a team that did better than you. You can't throw out the Green Bay Packers if they go 11-5, and the Rams, who had a crappy year playing a bunch of terrible teams in their conference and beating them and winning by default.
Then you might
might
as well get rid of the divisions then. Then if you're going to do that and say, well, yeah, then you're going to overcomplicate it. We're going to start calling you Adam Silver. Well, if you win your division, but you have to have 9-plus wins, you have to have an over 500 record, and then it's put up against the other team that's in, and you go strength of schedule and all. No. Win your division, you're in.
Brady, have you seen the football team from Brazil? We're going to have them in a mid-season tournament.
Yeah, you're Adam Silver with this idea. It's too complicated. Win your division. That's the first goal of any team, is to win your division.
Yeah, but you can't go to the... You can't screw someone else over.
And especially get that
home. The Broncos didn't deserve a home game.
They shouldn't get a home game. I'll give you that. They shouldn't get a home game. You reshuffle the deck. So you win your division, great, but you're not as good. You don't have as good a record as this team. Because that was the case last year, wasn't it? With
Minnesota
they had, and Detroit,
14
right?
14 wins and playing on the road.
Yeah, like... Let's see. Let's go to last year. How did that unfold? Because Detroit was 15-2, Minnesota was 14-3. They had the third best record in the NFC, but they got the 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. They got the fifth seed. They should reshuffle the deck at that point. I believe.
Yeah, I think they should go seeding by records. Top record,
yes.
You win. That's the way it
should
be.
So Minnesota should have been the third seed last year. And so like Philadelphia played Green Bay, Tampa Bay played Washington, Minnesota had to play the Rams. And that I think you should at least get a better, if they would have got one better seed, would that have mattered much? Because Washington obviously went on to the NFC Championship. But I think just for the sake of this argument, I agree that you shouldn't get the first round bye, but or the excuse me, the home field advantage, but you should still get in if you win your division. That's where I'm sitting. And on the college football playoff thing, the tough part about it is you remember the year CSU had Alabama on their schedule? That was back when Jim McElwain was the head coach.
Yeah, that was the year we had that flooding.
And that was also when we were just doing four-team playoffs, right? CSU could have theoretically won every game. If they even beating Alabama, that wouldn't have put them in. They had no shot. So even though CSU could, just stay with me. They went out, they beat Alabama, but they still can't get in. Like, that's not cool. And again, that was when it was four. If it was the 12-team playoff, they probably would have been a top-tier team, right?
That's happened before. Didn't South Florida, weren't they like number 12, and they ended up beating the team that beat the national champions or something?
Yeah, and I don't really like that they came up with their own, we won it. I don't like that either. That was dumb.
We won it because we beat the team that beat the national champions. Yay, us.
In 2011, no, it would have been 2010. No, wait, what year was that, Mike? What year was Jim McElwain there? Wow, am I really losing time like this? What was the year that they were really good? It would have been 2011. Why am I showing? I'm showing something way off here. But I just think that, like, even that year, it was tough because it was like, man, you could have gone on and won all your games and you still wouldn't have even had a shot. And that, to me, is just silly. First Advantage text line is 888-530-0043. Why for the life of me can't I find that schedule? When was that? What year was that when they won 9 games, didn't they? They won 10 games. Was that 2014? Yes, that was the year. No, it was 2015. Efforting. Yeah, I don't know. There was a year that they had Alabama on the schedule, and I just remember thinking, wow, even if they win out here, it doesn't do anything.
I think it was 2013 that they had Alabama.
Was it 2013? Yeah, you're right. And that year was not a great year, but just theoretically, Colorado was on. They lost to Colorado. They lost to Tulsa. But if they would have beat Colorado, they beat Tulsa, they beat Cal Poly, then they beat Alabama. And that was actually a weird game. They lost 31-6, but it felt like it was a lot closer than that because you had a Garrett Grayson fumble. It was
That's a blowout.
It was 17-0 at halftime, Alabama. But then the Rams scored 6. It was 17-6, Mike. 17-6 going into the fourth quarter of that game. And CSU down 17-6 was driving.
Before getting blown out.
They were driving. Garrett Grayson fumbled the ball. And Alabama recovered it, ran it back for a touchdown. And then CSU ended up throwing an interception or something, and Alabama scored 14 points in the fourth quarter. But 17-6 going into the fourth quarter. But that fumble, that was a flip because they were driving, looked like they might go down to score, and instead they fumble it. Alabama takes it back. It's like a swing right there, like a 14-point swing almost. Yeah, it's a fun conversation, I suppose. John Fort Jollity says 1995 Florida, 1996 UCF, 1997 Fairfield all finished 11-18 and made the big dance. Broncos went 11-5 in 1985 and did not make the playoffs. Cleveland 8-8 won their division. Yeah, there's a lot of those cases where teams aren't deserving of it, get in. And those would be a lot of those cases. Or were deserving and then didn't get in. But that's just the way it goes. If you want to get to the point where now it's based on your record first, and then we got to go with your record, but you also have to win your division, but carry the 4. Whatever. Bottom line is this whole debate kind of started on the college football playoffs thing, and I actually like teams having a shot at this. And here's the thing, Mike. the G5 schools don't have as many chances to beat stud opponents, right? Alabama has their entire slate outside of their cupcake game or two, but they have their entire conference schedule to build their resume. The G5 have no starting point. So you're basically saying they have to win their non-conference games because that's the only thing that matters. The only thing that got Boise State in from where they were was their close loss to Oregon. If Oregon was not on there and that was a random team and they would have won that game instead and went undefeated, I don't know if Boise State does crack the top, whatever they were, top 12. So my point too, like the SEC, the Big Ten, the Big 12, the ACC, they all have minimum 4, 5, 6 resume building games on their roster within the conference. So there's no starting point. 25 minutes after the hour. Let's take a quick break here. When we come back, I'm going to tell you why Mike is actually right about something. We'll get into that coming up next. It's the whole show powered by Chevron on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Keep it on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
There's only one sound like the key tumbling the lock open for the first time. One feeling like finally seeing your place after you've emptied all the moving boxes. That moment when four walls and a roof become the home you've always wanted. If you're on the search for that special place, we're the community bank that'll help you get there. Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC. Equal housing lender.
Hey, it's Andrew Bogish from CBS Sports Radio. You're listening to The Whole Show on 1310 KFKA.
Star Wars.
You said you were going to prove that I'm right about something,
yeah.
So I thought, oh, you're going to say Mike is right about Star Trek being better than Star
Wars. No, Star Wars is much smarter. I like smarter, better writing, you know, deeper thought-provoking things. This is the Star Trek intro?
Yeah, this
sounds like
intro
Murder, She Wrote.
Star Trek The Next Generation.
Sounds like the intro to Murder, She Wrote. They all kind of run the same, I guess. No, you are right. This Broncos team, based on the stats today, there are 6 games remaining for the Broncos, but let me go through this with you. And this whole thing started with this idea that, oh, it's not sustainable. Suddenly it's Michael doing the conversation. Nick Wright and all these guys, oh, Broncos defense is really, really good, but Bo Nix put the ball in his hands, and no, they're just Sean Payton getting crafty like this. It's not sustainable. It wasn't sustainable in 2015 either, Mike. You remember, Peyton Manning got hurt in that Kansas City game. There were boo birds in that game, by the way. And he was out for the remainder of the season until the second half of the San Diego Chargers game, where he actually, first time in his career, he was a backup quarterback. So he's a backup to Brock Osweiler. In that game, he was healthy, and he was listed as a backup, came in the second half. Manning used his brain to kind of will this team to victory. They win. They get the first round bye, and they go on and win the Super Bowl and got their third Super Bowl in that Super Bowl 50. The numbers here, let's take a look, Mike. In 2015, where do you want to go first, offensively or defensively?
Let's go with the defense since it is so dominant.
That defense was the no-fly zone defense. They got their own nickname. Still waiting on the nickname for this defense. Their defense in 2015, they were number one in total defense, 283 yards allowed per game. This year's total defense so far through 6 games, number three. They've given up 274.4 yards per game. Mike, I don't know. I'm not a mathematician, but that's actually better. Denver, that number three defense is giving up less yards than the total of the Broncos defense in that 2015 season. They were the number one against the pass, 199.6. This year, Denver's defense is number five, 185.8. They were number three against the run, 83.6 yards per carry. Number four against total rush in 2000 and fast forward to 2025. Giving up 88.5 yards per game. They were number four in total points allowed in 2015, 17.9 points per game. This year, they're number three, allowing 17.5. So you would give the tilt to the 2015 defense, even though Denver's numbers, their 2025 numbers, are better, but their rank in the season that they were in was better in 2015 as opposed to 2025. So you want to just say it's a wash? Do we say it's a wash right there?
Yeah, put some soap on it. It's a wash.
Well, okay, so here's just some of the things that stood out for the defense that year. 2015, Mike, they had 52 sacks. 52 sacks. Do you know how many sacks they have right now?
I don't, but I'm going to say 52.
49. They'll get to 52, though. They have six games remaining, and they're 49. Denver had 14 interceptions in 2015. They have six this year. They're not turning the ball over. They had 13 fumbles recovered in 2015. Three fumbles recovered this year. So there's a clear discrepancy there. Sacks, yay. Turnovers, nay. Compared to that year.
People like turnovers more than they like sacks.
Do they? Yeah, pick six is cool. Von Miller was the leading sacker on that. Now, keep in mind, Von was he was good, but he wasn't playoff Von Miller. He had 11 sacks that year. Nick Benito has 9.5 sacks right now. The next in line was DeMarcus Ware, who had 7.5 sacks. Jonathan Cooper has 7.5 sacks right now. Shaq Barrett had 5.5 sacks that year and 5 fumbles forced. Zach Allen has 6 sacks. Derek Wolfe had 5.5 sacks. Franklin Myers has 4.5. So you can see, obviously, the sack belongs to the Broncos. Aqib Talib had 3 interceptions. Chris Harris Jr. had 2 interceptions. David Bruton Jr. had 2 interceptions. Danny Trevathan had 2 interceptions. The Broncos, I mean, they haven't been getting turnovers. So Denver's defense from 2015 is better at turning the ball over. They needed it, though, because are you ready to look at offense, Mike? In offense, they were 16th overall. This year, they're 13th overall. In the past, they were 14th overall. This year, they're 17th. Okay. Rushing, which might be a stat we throw out if they can't figure out a replacement for J.K. Dobbins, they were 17th in 2015, getting about 107.4 yards a game. This year, they're 11th, getting 122 yards per game. They were 19th in scoring in 2015. Scoring 22.2 points per game. This year, they are 17th, scoring 23.4 points per game. You would give the nod slightly to the 2025 Broncos, even though the yards they're gaining are more in 2015, but it's all relative to the season that you're in. That year, Peyton Manning threw for 2,249 yards, 9 touchdowns, and 17 interceptions. Bad. Brock Osweiler threw for 1,967 yards, 10 touchdowns, and 6 interceptions. Bo Nix right now is at 2,421, 18 touchdowns. 19 touchdowns were thrown between Peyton Manning and Brock Osweiler that year. Bo Nix is at 18, and he's at 8 interceptions. 23 interceptions were thrown between Peyton Manning and Brock Osweiler. The quarterback play has been better. Oh, by the way, Bo Nix has ran for 213 yards and 3 touchdowns. Brock Osweiler only had had a couple of decent runs that year. He had 61 yards rushing. They had guys like J.K. Dobbins, R.J. Harvey. It hasn't been fantastic. Broncos had Ronnie Hillman, God rest his soul, 863 yards and 7 touchdowns. C.J. Anderson, 720 yards, 5 touchdowns. This year, the Broncos have J.K. with 772. R.J. Harvey's at 244. Who knows? If R.J. catches fire, he might be much better. You had studs like Demaryius Thomas, also, God rest his soul, 105 receptions, 1,300 yards, and 6 touchdowns. Sanders had 76 receptions, Emmanuel Sanders, for about 1,100 yards and 6 touchdowns. Not that far off, though. Cortland Sutton, 45 receptions for 649 yards and 4 touchdowns. Next in line is Troy Franklin with 46 receptions, 509 yards, and 5 touchdowns. The touchdowns are right there. Who are you giving the nod to? Hearing all those numbers, they're all pretty much, they all kind of even out, whether we're talking individual play or overall numbers from the offense and the defense. I'd probably give the nod to this year's Broncos because their offense is slightly better at the quarterback position.
Two reasons why I give it to this year. One, the Broncos are finding a way to win every close game, and every game is close. And two, the optics of this. Like, people are doubting the Broncos because every game is like it's a fourth quarter game, and they see the comebacks and they're like, oh, the Broncos have to come back. Look, if you're down by 3 points in the fourth quarter, does that really count as a comeback? Technically, it does.
Yeah, but not like as epic as they like to make it sound.
They're blowing things out of proportion. I don't know if it's an ESPN yell at the viewer type of situation or whether like people are legitimately worried about the Broncos, but I don't think it's as big of a deal as the national media who only cares about the Lakers.
Keep in mind that 2015 Broncos team, they were 6-0, Mike, before their bye week. But they were winning overtime games against Cleveland, 16-10 against the Raiders, 23-20 against Minnesota. They were winning close games. And Manning wasn't like, I mean, he had a decent start. Well, the first game was bad. But he had a couple of decent games in there, and then it got bad for him. They were 7-0 when they benched Peyton Manning because of an injury. But they were 7-0 at that point when Brock Osweiler took over. No, excuse me. They were 7-1. They just lost to the Colts, 27-24. And then Manning started against the Chiefs. That's when he got hurt, but he was really bad. He threw for 146 yards before getting benched. I think he threw several interceptions. Brock took over. They lost 29-13. Then they were still winning close games. They beat Chicago 17-15. They beat the Patriots in overtime. That was the snow game, wasn't it?
I loved that game.
That was an amazing game. C.J. Anderson ran for 113 yards. They won 30-24 in overtime. They beat San Diego 17-3. They lost two games. They lost to Oakland and Pittsburgh. They beat Cincinnati in overtime. I was on a cruise ship watching that game. They won 20-17 in overtime. That was the duel between the backup, kind of up and maybe up and coming at the time, A.J. McCarron, former Alabama quarterback, and Brock Osweiler. And that was a hell of a game. Brock threw for 300 yards.
Up and coming, those two.
No, didn't work out for either one of those guys. And I thought they were actually absolutely going to work out. So the point is, this season, guys, the stats, the close wins, all look about the same, save for two major categories, and that's quarterback play and ability to turn the ball over. If Denver could get more turnovers in there, Mike, man, we wouldn't have so many fourth quarter close games, I don't believe. So the whole point of this whole exercise here is to tell you that was not a Super Bowl team. Sure didn't feel like it when they lost to the Colts, they lost to the Chiefs. Didn't feel like it when they were 10-4 after losing to Pittsburgh. It felt like they were a playoff team. But, oh, Brock Osweiler, Manning's never coming back. Is that ever? Remember Manning flipped off the camera basically saying to Gary Kubiak, like, I'm freaking ready, let's go. I almost cussed. Like, he flipped off the camera. He's warming up, throwing it, and they're showing the footage, and Manning finally just looks up in a joking kind of way, like, yeah, I'm ready. Let's go. What are we waiting for? Nobody had the Broncos winning the Super Bowl that year. 43 minutes after the hour. Yes, Michael?
I did.
Of course you did. You had him winning the next year, too, with Trevor Siemian. And you had him winning the next year with Paxton Lynch. And you had him winning the next year with Case Keenum. And you had him winning the next year with Joe Flacco and Drew Locke and Teddy Bridgewater and Russell Wilson. So, there you go. It doesn't matter to you who the quarterback is.
Just wanted to put that out there.
I know. Everyone knows you had them winning the Super Bowl, but it doesn't count when you aim for that every single year. 43 after the hour. Let's get the latest on the local sports flash.
Hi, this is Earl Boykins, former Denver Nugget, and you're listening to The Whole Show on 1310 KFKA.
Big news for the Bills, and also Mr. Thursday Night. C.J. Stroud Still in concussion protocol. He's in concussion protocol. He will be out versus the Bills on Thursday. That game certainly is a big one when we're talking about playoff standings. They do expect him to be back for Week 13 against the Colts. So something to watch out for. First Advantage text line is 888-530-0043. Micah, we absolutely destroyed the clock today, so I guess good job. Means we had a great conversation.
Yes, we did, and I was right about most of this.
No, I was right. You were just going along with me for the most part today. What did we learn? Coming up next, we'll be right back.
Get ready for the college football weekend with Rocky Mountain College Kickoff. Fridays at 2 and an encore Saturdays at 7. We are Northern Colorado's voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Hey, this is Cato June, all-pro linebacker, Super Bowl champion. You're listening to 1310 KFKA.
The next time you get angry over a bad play, remember you need teamwork to win, not arguments.
Now we know.
And knowing is half the battle.
Hey, what?
What do we learn on this 18th day of November? We learned that there's no written rule on how to win a Super Bowl, who's going to win a Super Bowl. Bottom line is the Broncos are 9-2. They have one of, if not the best defenses in the NFL. And they have an offense that's average to maybe slightly above average, with a quarterback playing average to slightly above average. That seems like a recipe to win the freaking Super Bowl. Be good, have one of your units be elite and the other one of your units be kind of okay. That's what the Broncos did in 2015. Run it back. Mike, what did you learn today?
I mean, I can't disagree with that argument, kind of like how you disagree with Mark Johnson and me about, you know, giving freebies to
throw you and Mark
colleges that don't deserve it.
It's not a freebie. They earned it by winning their conference, and that's the rules. You don't like it, get on the board and change it.
Earned it by beating lesser teams. Okay, fine.
Well, Boise State. You keep saying Penn State had a close game against Oregon. So did Boise State. They lost by like three.
Also, Oregon and Penn State played a lot of really good teams, and a cupcake situation.
Boise State can only play the teams around the schedule.
A lot of donuts.
You're a donut. All right, that's going to do it for us. Nothing on tonight, right? Nothing on tonight. So, Star Trek it is. Good night, Northern Colorado.
This KFK podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. Honesty, integrity, hard work. It's the way you live and the way we bank. Bank of Colorado has been a family-owned, community-focused bank for generations and will be here for generations to come. Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.